Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast.
In case you don't know who I am.
Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, everybody.
My name is Scott, and I'm the Duce. Sucks now.
Scott? What do you mean I suck? I don't suck.
If you guys came here today...
I'm the movement, and he's wrong, and he sucks, and I'm definitely not his friend, and he is canceled now. Anyways, Randy, how are you doing today?
Hey, Scott! Man, let me tell you, if anybody came here today expecting a normal episode, this should allude to you it's not going to be a normal episode.
No, sir. But we're still doing it, because we'd be professional.
People come to Talos of Tech, and what they get is his Goonies.
His Goonies.
We are Talos of Tech.
We are all Talos. I met a fan yesterday at Apple, at an Apple store.
No way. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's his name?
Nick. Shout out, Nick.
Oh, okay. So you wrote a song about this fan. I see. And it's not
no, he
me.
Has, a, he
so
has N-I-C-K, but he was very nice. He's an Apple employee, and he says he came up to me. This is the first time I went into an Apple store, and I didn't have to wear a mask. So I was like, oh, thank God. Because, you know, anyway. If you have politics on your bingo card, then there you go. But I went in, and this guy came up to me, and he goes, hey, are you Randy? And I was like, is my laptop in? Like, that's my first thought. And I was like, yes, I am. He goes, oh, my God, I love the podcast, the show. I watch Drew's stuff. I'm like, oh, you're a fan. Hey, what's up? And then he's like, yeah, I've been watching Drew for a long time. And he's like, how's the music going? So, like, he knows us.
Hello,
so, what's
Nick?
Up? Nick, I was going to shout out. He's even though he's an Apple employee, he's starting his YouTube channel soon. If not now, definitely starting up on podcasts. And he credits us for being inspired to do it. So,
nice.
I wish you the best of luck. So, there you go. Take that one, Drew! I get fans!
Randy,
that definitely didn't
Drew's
go to your head in about 8 milliseconds.
No, I told my wife, I looked at her, I was like, hey, because she was like, first thing she does is she goes, what the heck is going on? And I told her, it's like, I'm so glad you're here to see this because people don't believe me, but like this happens all the time at an Apple store. And then I lean in, I was like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I'm kind of a big deal. She goes, oh my God, it went to his head.
Speaking of going to people's heads, Nick, somebody passed 10,000 on Twitter the other day.
Woo!
You passed 10,000 on Twitter, Scott? Good job.
I know, I believe that was you, and I believe your ego grew 3 times in size that day.
Really?
Dun, 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 dun.
Me and the Grinch,
yes.
Growing those hearts. All of the likes. Yeah, it happened. Now
shout
I,
out to you.
Now I have to figure out what to do with myself.
You should be able to get Twitter Blue free of charge so you can upload longer videos at the 10K mark, which is now a thing.
Really?
Twitter Blue. Twitter Blue is a thing, yeah.
I hate Twitter Blue. What do y'all think about Twitter Blue?
Go ahead, Scott.
From what I've heard about it, it's more like Twitter Green, because literally the first thing I saw everyone on Twitter do is change the icon.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's Twitter Green because they're gonna charge you $3 a month,
yeah,
$2 a month.
Okay, and what are the features of it? I glanced at it real quick, and I was like, "There's no way that this is worth $3 a month."
Let me see if I can do it by memory. Longer uploads, like longer video uploads. You could change your Twitter app to whatever. Like it's a preset. Instagram did this, I think last year.
Okay.
You get to pin comments in discussions or something like that. Yeah. And you get early something. I don't know. that's my memory. I'm pulling it up.
The main feature is there's a delete button, though, right? Isn't that there's an edit button. There's an edit button, right?
There's an undo tweet. It's the first thing it promotes is it says, typo? Forgot to tag someone? Give yourself time to preview and make changes to your tweet before it goes live. So it's not really going live. I think it's like a timer, and you have
kind of like Gmail's undo send.
Yeah, it's not a real edit button. It's a like you can preview your tweet before you actually tweet it button.
That
now, if they had an edit button, I would pay $3 a month for it. That is true.
They don't have an edit, but they have ad free for $3 a month. It's ad free. You can bookmark folders, whatever that is.
I keep all of my files not on my desktop or on my hard drive. I keep them on Twitter. Being able to folder them, it's a lot better.
That's it. So, Twitter Blue. Okay, so let's go around. Let's go around the table real quickly. Scott, are you subscribed or are you subscribing?
No, I'm not getting $20 a month to scroll through a little faster.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. I just wanted to. Nick.
Randy, how much money have you already spent?
I haven't.
Good. Good.
I won't. I'm not going to do it. I think I would benefit from longer video uploads, but no. If I look at the analytics between like people who watch my videos on Twitter vice like Instagram, I get more views on Instagram and I can upload longer videos there, so no. Yeah.
Until they make like every tweet like an ad, I won't do it.
I did a test before Twitter Blue was a thing, and it crossed my mind. I scroll Twitter every third tweet or fourth tweet. It's like 1, 2, 3, add. 1, 2, add. 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4, add.
I've noticed that.
And I'm like, oh my goodness. And now I see why. Because they're going to try to push Twitter Blue. So, and I, to be honest, I actually don't think that's taking away the ads. It just say no ads on articles.
Oh.
Which is... Yeah, because I suspect Twitter videos, like Marquez will upload something and I'll see an ad before it plays.
Yeah.
And I suspect that this means no ads on that. But they're not saying no ads like an ad-free Twitter experience. At least with YouTube Premium, I haven't seen an ad in years. So
that is the biggest reason I pay for YouTube Premium.
Yeah. So, now that we've met our obligated not talking about Apple stuff for a minute, I wanted to highlight or come to the highlight of the show of why we're all here today. Scott, get him!
Oh, boy. You're
supposed to be neutral.
I'm sorry. Wait. This is me neutral. Scott, get him!
It's okay.
Like the Mac versus PC ad where like the coach is like, PC is like, you're supposed to be cheering for me. Try some positive re-encouragement. And he's like, you're doing a great job, Mac.
Yep.
That's if you thought I was going to be Drew today, no, because even Drew has turned on you with the Mac arguments.
So. Even the audience, and gentlemen, even the audience has turned on you. I see in like Randy's live streams, people are like, is Nick serious? He can't possibly be serious.
Yeah.
100% serious.
Before we jump into this from a new perspective, Scott, would you please, on the record, tell us where you stand with the MacBook Pro, and if you do have one, what do you have?
Oh my gosh. I have the base model 14 inch. I'm using it to record right now, so I have the box as my prop.
Nice.
So I have the bin CPU, I have the bin GPU, and I can tell you it's already 20 million times faster.
So it sucks. That's what Scott said, everyone. That's what Scott said, everybody. It sucks. It's terrible. Don't get the bin one. No. It's absolutely terrible. And it's ugly. I'm pretty sure Scott fit that in there somewhere too. It's ugly.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you for showing me.
I never said any of those things. Nick is wrong and he sucks. So I have the bin CPU, the bin GPU, and it's still infinitely like faster than my old Intel MacBook Pro that had I have the same amount of RAM, the same amount of storage as my last Mac, but oh my goodness. I love this thing. It's perfect. Like, or at least as close as perfect as a tech product can be. I love the design. I love having MagSafe back. I love the cameras. The screen. Mm. Oh my goodness. I used to walk. I can't look at my iPad or my phone anymore. I just could not stop staring at the screen of this new.
Interesting.
MacBook Pro.
Would you say? Before I ask that question, did you ever try an M1? At all?
I mean, I know people who have them. And
he upgraded at the wrong time.
I did
Scott
not.
Stowell bought a 2019 MacBook Air. The year before the MacBook Air got good,
yes,
he bought
and I
one.
Knew, and
at the time, I was like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. He's like, it's fine. It's going to be a great computer. I need one for school.
Yes,
and I'm like,
I needed
you better
one
wait
for school,
the M1.
And I'm not going to wait a whole year and buy tech on future promises. So... I bought a MacBook Air, and it was good. And then I traded that for a MacBook Pro because I liked having the ports on both sides. Speaking of, ports are great, Nick.
Bye, Nick.
Bye. Nick, who 1 week was complaining that there weren't enough USB-C ports, and the week before was like, I only need one.
Yeah, I was reading the comments last week's video.
But I'd rather have it symmetrical if we can.
Okay.
We're not going to
put more than one port on there. They better be symmetrical and multiple ports.
I cannot justify anything of what you just said right now. So, okay. Scott, tell me from a base everything entry point. So that means you also have the half terabyte?
Yep, 512 storage.
And 16 gigs of RAM.
And 16 gigs of RAM, yep.
And based off of everything that you're using on it, I would suspect that you are seeing from... You're coming from the 2019 MacBook Air?
No, I'm coming from a 2017 MacBook Pro.
Okay. Ooh!
Yeah.
Oh, that has to be quite
the... It was a wonderful upgrade. I no longer have the terrible butterfly keyboard, which, oh my gosh, the first time I typed like on this Mac, I was just like, oh, this is so nice. The keys actually move. I no longer have the gosh awful touch bar. Oh, I have a whole rant on how terrible the touch bar is.
Let me hear it. I know where Nick stands.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
I like a new perspective.
Nick could not possibly be more wrong on the touch bar.
He tries.
First of all, I can't tell you how nice it is to have set buttons for things like brightness, volume, media controls. Nick was like, oh, I love it when my control is changed for my app. No, I use multiple desktops. And I was in Word typing something, and three desktops over was Apple Music. And I was just able to reach up and hit the skip button instead of having to fly back three desktops so the controls show up.
Why are you using your Mac to listen to music, Scott?
Because that's what I was working on, Nick.
No, you used your AirPods and your phone to listen to music.
Why would I do that, Scott, when I could just use one singular device, Nick? It's not very minimal to have to use two devices.
See, all you would have had to do is push the little arrow key next to the brightness slider, and you'd have all of your old buttons back, Scott.
Oh, yeah, and then I can use the touch bar, which refreshed at, like, 1 hertz. It was always painfully slow. And then don't get me started on all the times that it crashed, and I would have to go in to Activity Monitor and reset the stupid touch bar. That was massively annoying, especially when your app freezes and it freezes the touch bar, and then you can't do Command Option Escape because you don't have an escape key and your touch bar is frozen.
I did not know this was a thing.
It was, oh my goodness.
It's fake news, Randy. Don't listen to Scott. Scott's
news. Okay, listen.
Excuse me. Quite frankly, I've never
Trump
had a
impression?
Touch bar.
Check. Anyone have a bingo yet?
When we're looking at the touch bar, okay, from Nick Apple or whatever, excuse me, I refuse to believe, okay, that the touch bar was a superior device. It crashes.
It crashed so much for me.
That's
uncomfortable. I was using Nick's old laptop, and he was even like, I don't know what you're doing. It worked just fine for me. So I took a video of it crashing, and I put it on Twitter, and I sent it to Nick.
And what has that gotten you, Scott?
It got me a beautiful brand new MacBook Pro with full-size function keys. I nearly cried when I saw those in the keynote. That's the moment I was like, yup, that's my laptop.
Good for you, Scott. Good for you.
This is amazing. All right. So, Nick, how many more people do we need to bring on this show for you to change your mind?
You know, I'm seeing that we have a couple dozen people in the comments every week telling me their thoughts and opinions, so we should probably have all of them in. We should probably talk to, like, every person on planet Earth first. And then in about 7.4 billion weeks, I will get a MacBook Pro with a update. He came prepared, ladies and gentlemen. This is a setup. This is a setup, ladies and gentlemen.
Cancel Nick. He's wrong.
I can't believe
the
it.
The MacBook Pro is amazing. First of all, it has MagSafe, Nick. And so I can just click my little charger right into the side of the Mac. I don't have to...
And it's fast charging.
Yeah, and it's fast charging. I don't have to...
And it frees up ports.
Which I actually don't even have fast charging because I didn't give him the $20 for the fast charging brick.
Oh, it does. So that's an upgrade model, isn't it?
Yeah, it's $20 for that, which I don't notice it. I plugged this thing in the other night and it went from like green or orange to green so quickly. I was like, how do I not have the fast charging brick?
Yeah, I don't notice I don't have fast charging, but I don't really care about the charging part of it because I was talking with Drew about this I think last week. Right now I've been undocked for the past like 4 days. I'm sitting at 46% right now as of recording this, and I'm plugged in, but I'm not charging because the habit has already been established. It knows when I need to juice up and when I don't. So the idea of having a fast charge I think is only applicable for when, like, I need to get this on the go, and it knows based off of like your geolocation, oh, you're not home, you're not at your normal place, so it should start juicing it up as soon as possible. But I can't confidently say that fast charging is like a necessity, but it's cool to have. It's awesome that that's an option.
It's a nice to have. But with how long the battery on this thing lasts, like, oh my goodness, I was trying to kill this thing the other day and it just would not die. I was Zoom meetings, I was working, I was typing stuff, I was watching TV Plus, and it was like 11 p.m. and it was still at like 27%, and I was like, die!
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That, like I said, 4 days, and I'm using 4 days of running Logic, and I'm only at 46%. And that's M1.
Yeah.
So... where I'm getting at with that is Nick can stay with a 2020 MacBook Pro and live his miserable life.
with his yuck bar. Yeah.
Wow.
No, he's going to
get... very loved on this show, ladies and gentlemen.
He's going to cave strictly for camera purposes.
Nick, I am so convinced that if you went in to a Best Buy or an Apple store and just looked at one of these Macs, just nothing else, just
I've
whooped,
seen them at the Best Buy.
Looked
they
at the
think
display,
they are so ugly.
They are beautiful.
Look at them again.
They are beautiful. I love this design so much. It reminds me so much. I had an old like iBook G4, and it reminds me so much of that design, and it's beautiful, and the corners are rounded, and the lid corners like are rounded, and it's so nice because the lids on the old Macs were really, really sharp. Like, they would dig into your fingers. And this one does not do that. And it's so comfortable. I don't notice the weight difference. And I can tell you, I stick it in my backpack, and I walk half a mile to campus and back every day. I do not notice the weight difference at all. But I do notice the functional difference.
Okay.
I notice the slightly bigger screen. I notice the better display. I notice the actually having ports that are useful.
Are you a ProMotion fan, Scott?
That's actually, I used to never notice it. I don't notice it. I have an 11-inch iPad Pro. I don't notice it on there. I noticed it immediately on the Mac, and I had to go into settings and turn down my mouse tracking speed because my mouse is tracking too fast.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason I only want to stare at the Mac display, because I noticed ProMotion, and I'm like, oh, this is what everyone's talking about.
I'm seeing a lot of chatter on the Twitterverse that people are pushing to have an updated cinema display, and I feel people are making a loud enough ruckus about it that I'm becoming more and more convinced we're going to see a new cinema display within the next under year mark. Before the M chip Mac Pro is released, which maybe it might happen at the same time, but no later past that, we are going to see a new display that's not the XDR display. We're going to see an updated cinema display that can maybe be 1440 again or 4K, but everything that has that old display, like, blueprint on how it all just works, I think we're gonna see that again. There's enough people making noise about it. The way they made noise about how they're having troubles with the MacBook, and they waited for the right time for the MacBook Pro to have all these new updates and stuff like that. And there was enough pushback that they took away the touch bar. They took away strictly USB-C. That I think Apple really is listening. So we're gonna get a display. And
they shouldn't listen. Since when does Apple listen to the customers?
While you're
the customers
Apple,
don't know what they want
until
you've given it to them.
Ah, USB-C?
Yeah. Change this to USB-C while they're listening.
Nick, are you in favor of a USB-C iPhone at all, or are you just wireless before anything else?
Just because I don't like Scott on a personal level.
Nick doesn't want any iPhone.
I love 30-pin. We should switch back to 30-pin. Great port. It's wonderful. It clicks in there and it locks. Like, you click it in there, it locks. What on earth? Scott self-promoting his Twitter hashtag.
I don't even have my account on here. Everyone needs to cancel Nick. And here's how you can cancel Nick. You can hit the dislike button and no one else will see it except for Nick because
beep,
he has to go
beep.
Into...
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We're
go
going off the
studio
beep.
And he'll see all your dislikes.
Sorry. I was actually... Well, you read my mind. I was going to ask you guys where you stand on this whole dislike thing that YouTube updated this week.
Ooh. I saw a tweet about that. They got rid of the dislike button. Why on earth would they get rid of the dislike button? Because how else will you know when your video is doing wonderfully?
Correction. They didn't get rid of it. They just got rid of the numbers. So you can dislike it, but they're not going to show you the final count.
You can still see the final count in studio, but publicly.
The creator
publicly,
can.
Yeah. Okay. No one.
Publicly, that information is no longer just out there. The thing is, people. YouTube is saying that it's affecting small YouTube channels, YouTube creators that want to grow, but they feel they. Either get demoralized when they see dislikes come through, or they get they might be targeted with a spam of getting a mass load of dislikes going through, and overall YouTube is taking the side of mental health, that these people these creators will feel more comfortable still working on the platform or uploading and giving their work a chance to thrive if they take away the incentive to show this ratio. Whereas on the flip side of that, something that Marquez has just put out a video about, that when you go to like how-to videos and you want to look up how to install something or how to do this or do that, the ratio is a quick indicator to see if it's actually going to solve the problem. Are you wasting your time or not?
That's a good idea.
And he says that piece of information then indicates, do you go to the comments section or see what people are saying about, or do you just watch the video? Before I give my input, I want to know your guys's. Do you think this is a better improved Twitter or not Twitter, but YouTube has said that no other platform does this, in alluding to Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We don't really do anything with Facebook, so we don't care. But no other platform does this. And the counter argument to that is that no other platform is YouTube. YouTube is a search engine as well, not just an entertainment source.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
So what are your guys' thoughts on
that? I don't know.
That?
It's really weird, honestly. It's like, don't change what's not broke. And I don't really think that it was necessarily broke. Yeah, some YouTube videos, like YouTube Rewind from every year past, has gotten ratioed so hard. But that's kind of what the internet is about, right? Like a group of people collectively deciding what to see. You know, that's what Reddit's all about, upvotes or downvotes, you know? That's how this works. And I don't really understand necessarily the need to switch it all up. I don't have a specific problem that they're gone. It'd be nice to have that number publicly viewable, because it is kind of funny when you click on like a video, you know, that's whatever you know is going to be bad. And then you see, oh no, I'm not the only one who thought this was bad. YouTube Rewind still sucks. Do you think that they did this just because they're going to do Rewind in a few weeks and they don't want anyone to be able to see the dislike number?
They're not doing Rewind anymore. They canceled it.
No, they're not?
They're done.
Oh, no.
They're not doing it anymore.
How are we going to end the year on a cringy note?
You know, just go watch...
Just go watch last year's Rewind again. That'll do it for you.
Yay. I'm so proud of this community.
Oh, yeah. Will Smith looking through the little telescope. What do you think, Scott?
You know, it's... I completely disagree with the decision to take away the dislikes. And I watched the Marquez video on it. And obviously, he's talking from a creator standpoint. And I come from more of a user, consumer standpoint. And the first thing they said when they were like, other platforms don't have a dislike button. And I was like, yeah, and we've all been asking other platforms to add dislike buttons, not for you to remove yours. Actually, Nick brings up a good point with Reddit. I didn't even think of Reddit. Technically, Reddit has a dislike button, so...
They do. Upvote, downvote. Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but from a user standpoint, it's super, super easy to tell, like, what do I want to watch today? And you can quickly, like, tap on a video, see the likes and dislikes, and be like, you can be like, okay, this has a lot of likes, this has a lot, or a lot of dislikes, and you can be like, this is going to be good. What are people upset about? I know that's happened with some of Drew's videos before, where he's had some unpopular opinions, and people dislike the video, but... I think I think dislikes, every creator I know that I've talked to likes dislikes because it helps with engagement, and engagement pushes the algorithm pushes your video. So I don't know too many who get upset about having their stuff disliked.
All right.
I don't know. It's kind of almost like as a creator, it's nice to have that metric so you can know if your video is something that your target audience, you know, appreciates or wants to watch. And removing that's just kind of like, I don't know, like you're removing things. Like it used to be there, like, and they're taking it away. It's different than them adding a feature. They're taking away a feature. If they added a feature where you could, for your own mental health, hide the dislike ratio, okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's like when
they do have that feature where they turn off comments and ratings, like or dislike, and all that is not, like, every Apple video has that, if not definitely the comments.
Just
leave it up to the creator, like in studio, have a little like, do you want to hide dislikes on your channel, yes or no? And then, you know, obviously
they have enough settings.
Yeah,
there,
obviously the companies like Apple that always turn off comments anyways, they can be like, yes, hide the dislikes. But
I'm so glad that you both side on the, you take the side of like, it should be there, because now we can have some friction, and I want to say that I disagree with the premise, and I'm glad that they got rid of the dislikes.
Really? Interesting. Whole. Why?
I want to make a case. Partly, I want to play devil's advocate.
Ladies and gentlemen, Judge Judy is in session. Randy's going to make a case.
But I want to make a case. I want to exercise critical thinking here. First thing. They used to have a rating system of 1 to 5 stars, and they did get rid of that a long time ago. So they have been known to take away features, and they replaced it with the like and dislike, which seemed to be a more viable solution. But the rating system, it's all collectively saying what's your rating of video the way you would be rating an Amazon product. And videos and Amazon products, to me, they don't go hand in hand. And
okay.
So I'm glad that the star system went away so long ago. The dislike ratio thing, I'm glad they got rid of it, because when you click on something that you know is controversial, any political video, any COVID video, any riot, protest.
Well, there goes your money for the week, Nick.
All those things, you know what you're stepping into in hot water. But I don't ever look at the like to dislike. I do it as a like, ha-ha, no one likes Justin Bieber's baby. The most disliked video at one point. I don't know if that's still the case, but for a long time, it was the most disliked video. And that's just funny because it's almost like a meme culture thing. So you do it because it's, mm-hmm. it's a cultural phenomenon thing, but it didn't do anything to it. The dislike and like is still there, and as a creator, like you're saying, Nick, that information is still accessible to you as the creator to see if the video is still performing. But that's your business. That doesn't have to be the business of the people of how your channel's running, especially if your channel is a business. If you, this is how you make your living, that's analytics you can look at. That's no one else's business. I look at my analytics to see who in the country is watching, who internationally is watching, how long do they watch. Marquez made a fair compromise that I actually do agree with, that maybe watch up to a certain point. There's a threshold of the video. You have to watch at least 2/3 of a video, regardless of the length, for your ability to then either see that information, or I believe it was even your ability to then mark that information. So it prevents people from just coming in and spamming, dislike, and bounce. But that information doesn't hurt. The reason why I'm cool with it being gone is it doesn't hurt your content. As you said, Scott, it still helps the algorithm. Like or dislike, I get people disliking my video all the time, and I don't care because at the end of the day, I still got your engagement. You just pushed my video forward. They dislike these videos all the time on the channel, and I don't care. So because I don't care and it doesn't hurt it, if it's hurting other people's self-esteems, It's not in my place to say get tougher skin or whatever the case is. I acknowledge I'm a different generation. I think quite literally from you guys. I don't think you guys are millennials. So like I acknowledge that I have a different mindset, but it's not my place to say suck it up, you know? My feedback about how-to videos is you're gonna go look at the comments regardless. I will look at it. If the ratio is still positive or negative, the first thing I do instinctually as I scroll down is I go straight to the comments. I don't even look at the sub count because chances are I'm not subscribed to the channel. I don't look at the view count, and I don't look at the like to dislike ratio. The only time I look at a view count is if it's trending. Oh, okay. How did this get on trending? It only has 46,000 views right now. I mean, I guess. So at that point, it's because there's some context to why I would want to look at that. But my final case about why it doesn't matter is I watch a lot of YouTube on the TV, and I can't see that information regardless. I can see the view count, but I can't see likes or dislikes or comments, which is quite frustrating because sometimes I do like some stuff. Best parts of some YouTube videos are the comments section. I have never said the best part of this YouTube video was the like to dislike ratio. It's meme culture at best, like, hey, let's go spam YouTube Rewind because it's funny and ha ha ha. But I like seeing the clever comments that people will come up that have some, you know, quick retort about something. That's more interesting and more engaging. And being involved in the comments also drive the analytics, I would think, a lot stronger than a like or dislike ratio. I think commenting on a video has bigger impact on your video getting pushed out there than likes or dislike, and maybe even the view count. Like, the view count is technically easily manipulated as well. You jump on for 2 seconds, jump off.
Yeah.
Like, what do you call a view count at this point? At one point, they had a standard, but then you don't really know. What we do know are comments are comments. And that's the problem YouTube needs to be addressing, not likes or dislikes.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
How do you fix the spam?
Comments problem. That's the problem.
You gotta fix the spam in the comments. That's the real issue.
Totally.
So,
everyone, make sure to dislike this video and tell us exactly where we can
dislike this video.
Drew, cancel Nick in the comments.
Where's Drew? This sucks. Get these guys out of here. You shouldn't be doing this video without it. This is why it's not called Drew Erickson. It's called Taylosif because anybody could be on here. Anyway, so that's
anybody.
My case.
I just walked up. They let me on.
He did.
He did.
No prior qualifications.
I mean, I was just walking
necessary.
Through the Dallas airport one day, and Scott was just
Scott
like,
asked
hey,
me for a dollar.
I want to be on your-
and I was like, hey, do you want to be on the podcast? Instead, he asked me for a buck. I was like, here you go. So that's my case. That's my case about why I'm okay with it being gone. I don't really think that's the biggest indicator about how a video is performing. And if we're making a case for how-tos, most of the time I go to the comments anyway. When I go, how do I properly use the compression for this plugin? I read the comments. I don't look at the ratio to be like, oh, was this a waste of time? It is true. You can get a lot of information very quickly. Like, oh, this video is going to suck. But most of the time, I'm still going to see what people have to say, because I've seen videos that are terrible videos, but the comment section had the right answer still, and it still saved me another search. So that's my case.
That's a fair argument. I would argue that if the dislikes don't matter, then the likes don't matter either, and we should just get rid of those numbers too, and then everyone on YouTube.
Well, if that doesn't matter, then we should just get rid of the views. Yeah, and if the views don't matter, we should just get rid of the whole site. Just delete YouTube.
But if you get rid of the likes, I think everyone then becomes on a more even playing field, and you don't get numbers for any videos, and it becomes a more competitive marketplace of ideas, I suppose.
I don't disagree with that. Here's my compromise. Do get rid of the likes and dislikes, but still show the ratio. Show the bar of how much like to dislike. Not a percent, but like just, you know, because it's either green or blue or whatever. It's like blue or gray, or it's like light gray, dark gray, and based off of it is how much likes or dislikes there is happening right there. A fair compromise there would be that it'll still, if you're looking for information about is this video worth my time, I would make that compromise, but I just can't stand behind it, because ultimately I don't find the dislike-like ratio a good analytic for a viewer, especially when the algorithm already knows what I like. I'm less subscribed to more channels these days because the algorithm knows me that well that when I open up the homepage, there's a video, and I'm going to watch said video. I don't care if it's liked or disliked, if it's controversial or not. I will know, like, if I'm watching a court case, it's already going to be controversial. I accept that. I don't really care. Like, what am I going to do? Going to go on a Fox channel and expect to see all these dislikes to be like, CNN's better, and then go to CNN and see all these dislikes, Fox. Like, I know what filth I'm stepping in the moment I get into those channels. So I don't care in that sense. And I care more about the actual information being presented. And the algorithm, I would argue, knows me well enough to give me what I want. And if I'm going to be fed BS, then in that case, I'd say the algorithm failed at that point. I would, at most, if you dislike a video, maybe the algorithm should stop showing you that video. But if it's a targeted attack, and these young creators, and I say young not by age, but by maybe view count or subscriber count or just their starting, if these young creators get demotivated because of these targeted attacks, which I guess are a thing, I don't know, but if they are, and it helps them, I'm not losing sleep over it. That's not affecting, for example, the podcast channel. That doesn't hurt us any, so I don't know. And again, my real case is, I feel like this is deflection about the comment section and all the spam that's in comment sections. That's a real issue. That's a genuine issue that they need to find a better fix for, because us three might be smart enough to say, okay, I know that's not really so-and-so responding to me, so you could just let it go, but I don't think you can make that case for everybody. Some people might still fall for that. If they can still fool one person into sending them $2,000, they still got scammed $2,000.
I always say tech companies have to cater to, like, who your grandma would be in terms of protection. Like, sure, we know how.
Nana, put down the phone. You don't need to buy that.
Yeah, sure, we know how to use the comment section, and like, sure, we know what websites to go to and what apps to install. But like, I can tell you from personal experience, not everyone does, and it doesn't have to be your grandma. Like, I have people my age I'm friends with who don't know how to do like anything, and they're like, Scott, how do I do this? And I have to show them, and I'm just like, please don't click links in your emails.
You swipe up to go home. That's how you do this.
I had a friend who had an iPhone, and I had to show him how to multitask because he got rid of the button. He's like, I can't swipe between apps. And I'm like, you go up and over like that. I'm like, come on.
I think,
or just,
how often do you guys have to be your own family's tech support?
Oh, all the time.
All the time?
Well, every day.
My mother has an Android phone too, and so it's terrible because I'm like, if you would get an iPhone, I would know how to do these things.
What, you call yourself an Apple sheep and your mother has an Android, Scott?
Nick,
have you even tried?
Nick's making an inside joke.
Oh, and this guy can tell me that his MacBook Pro is better than mine, but his mother still has an Android phone, so...
Wow. Nick, how many relatives of yours use Android?
Zero, actually. I have gotten them all.
I see. Forcibly?
The only green bubble in my entire messages is one of your friends.
No way. I don't have green bubble friends. I only have green bubble family.
Oh, good. Maybe it's your mother.
My dad is the last one who's on an Android, and I even said, Dad, I will give you, I won't even sell you it, I'll just give you this older phone that's still phenomenal. Please use it so we can have a proper group chat. And he was like, no, this one's fine. T-Mobile gave me this one for free. I'm like, for a reason, for a reason.
Let's see, mine, she has one of the notes, and she's like, I don't want an iPhone because I can't write on it. And I'm like, Mom, we will get you an iPad. We will get you an iPad mini and an Apple Pencil, and you can write on that.
Oh, she's a stylist?
She's a stylist, yeah. And that's why she won't buy. I'm like, if you would get an iPhone, I could... Because I live 3 hours away in college right now. I'm like, I could FaceTime you. I could iMessage you. I'm like, it would make life so much easier for me to get in contact with you if you would just switch. But she steadfast refuses.
It's like a sculpture. Just keep working at it. You're going to get there.
My dad enables her. Even though my dad's an Apple, like, he has an iPhone. But he buys her all the, like, Samsung stuff. Like, he got her the watch, and I'm like, don't get her a watch. Now she's never gonna switch. And she has Galaxy Buds, and I'm like, how are we even related anymore?
Your dad...
Get her a pair of AirPods. Start her easy.
Nick told me this technique about giving somebody AirPods, like AirPods Pro specifically. He gave me this strategy, and I'm gonna reveal it to you all now, because I tried it on... many people, but it only convinced one person. And I was like, well, that's one more soul, so it must have worked. I gave...
One more soul not going to hell.
Green bubble hell.
I gave AirPods.
That would be good.
And when they put them in the ear, I first had transparency turned on. So they put them in, like, oh, okay, all right, this is fine, whatever. And then right before I pressed play, I went to A and C, and, oh, this is crazy. Boom, 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 boom. And they're like, ooh. And all of a sudden, they were steadfast and pressed. In fact, I want to give an update on these little suckers. Ooh.
Ew, what did you stick on that? Is that OEM? Ew. I cannot believe you, Randy. Hey. All these people. I'd be like the only Apple sheep left on this podcast. Hey, yeah. We got the two sellouts for the MacBook
Pros. You don't
like
the new MacBook Pro. By definition, you are not an Apple sheep.
Because you are on board with whatever this post Johnny
Ive
design is.
Yes, thank goodness. I have a usable
Steve and
keyboard
Johnny's
and
design
buttons
language.
That don't crash and make
Nick, me... this is Steve and Johnny's design language. It's 2006 all over again.
No, that's not a good year.
So, for our non-audio listeners, if what Nick is referring to is I have this black... Is that
ugly little zit on your AirPods Pro?
It's not bright red, Nick.
Little black kid.
So, I was waiting last week while we were doing the podcast, and right when we got off, my package delivered. I got foam tips, and these foam tips.
Is that what you got, Randy? Okay.
I got foam tips. I took out the and here's the thing. I don't know how to get these suckers off because I was trying to do a compare and contrast between the OG silicone tips. But these foam tips, I have to tell you, straight up, and I don't know how to be any more serious about this, but this fixed every issue I ever had with AirPods Pro. Now AirPods Pro is perfect.
Oh, wow.
It fits.
Wow.
No matter...
You used the P word, ladies and gentlemen.
Perfect.
Put that down on the...
put that on your freebie. Yeah. It's on the freebie. But it now, AirPods Pro for the tech, perfect. Price comparison. Price per dollar? If we do price per dollar, it's perfect. Because what I love about the AirPods Max is they don't fall off, and it gives you the perfect suction around the ears. And Nick and I did extensive testing with it. Did you ever test them, Scott?
AirPods Max? No. I'm not the biggest over-ear headphones person. The Fair pressure enough. On my head, it hurts after a while. I have a pair of, like, the Bose 700s, which are really nice for airplanes. But other than that, like, AirPods Pro are so good, I never touch them.
Fair enough. Okay. I love over-ears. I'm using them right now as we record because they just give me a proper fit all the time. And I could say that everything that I love about it, I agree about the pressure thing with over-ears. And so I'm very selective about what over-ears I wear. AirPods Max gave me the best sounding sound experience I've ever experienced, period. So because of the suction, I was able to have a better ANC experience and transparency experience that I can never understand why it wasn't working for the in-ears. For whatever reason, and I did not know this until after I put the foam tips on, but the right seal for the silicone tips just always kind of broke the seal a little bit. So I would experiment with different sizes, like I'll grab one medium, one large, or one small, one medium, and I go back and forth. But nothing seemed to be fitting properly without giving some type of discomfort because something was unbalanced. It almost felt like my equilibrium was off, and I didn't like it. Immediately, I take the foam, and you're supposed to pinch it and then let it sit in your ear as it expands and it takes shape to your ear canal. My God, it fixed everything. I have perfect ANC and perfect transparency the whole time. I wear these and I forget I'm wearing them, and I'm just walking around doing my thing, and no point when I'm chewing, talking, sucking through a straw, anything that moves your jaw so it kind of starts to manipulate the ear canal a little bit, nothing breaks the seal anymore. And they're almost too good, because when I take them out, immediately blood rushes to my ears and I get this air and I'm like, oh, it feels good to take them out. But that suction is tight. It's equivalent to what I would compare the Beat Studio Buds I tried a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Those things were very tight in there. It's kind of like that experience, but with better tech now. So I'm on the fence about recommending them as a whole to if nobody has AirPods Pro, because I think they are about to be refreshed. But if you do have AirPods Pro and you have experienced the same issues I've experienced about them staying in your ear for long periods of time, $13 on Amazon, just type in AirPods Pro foam tip and they work like a gem, and they're $13. If they break in 5 months, they're $13. That's fine. I'm okay. I can sleep comfortably at night with that. So I love them. And my love for AirPods as a whole have been rejuvenated again because now I found something that works. I'm jealous that if you guys don't need them, because I see you guys with your pros, if you don't need them because they work good in your ear, I'm envious that what you got out of the box worked. But now I can be like one of you and experience the greatness of it.
Welcome. It's wonderful. AirPods, the stupid like regular AirPods design, even when they were the wired buds, never fit my ears. The hard plastic would always hurt. They would always fall out. They were super, super annoying. And so I have the old Apple in-ear headphones. Love those. Mm. To this day, those are still my favorite pair of headphones. So comfortable. And then when AirPods Pro came out, I bought them immediately. And I use the small in the left ear and the medium tip in the right, which is a little weird, but it works. And they fit perfectly. And they don't hurt like the OG AirPods, and they don't fall out on me unless I'm like really, really, really like running around doing stuff. And so unfortunately, Apple has me now because I can never give them anything but $250 for AirPods because I'm never going back.
Very well.
That's funny. You think AirPods Pro 2 is going to cost $250? That's really cute.
You think they're going to be what, 300? You think they're going to go up?
That's funny. You think probably. I'm going to get like AirPods Pro 2. I just had these replaced from Apple. I'm good for a while.
Yeah!
Nice.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't keep the AirPods 3. Mm-hmm. I couldn't just, like, I felt like I had brand new AirPods Pro because they got replaced. So, yeah. But, you know. So, okay, Nick, let me ask you this.
I don't.
What was that? You started talking. Okay. All right. So what I was going to ask, and if Nick can't answer, then, well, Scott, this is not a question for you because you're sane and you have the new MacBook Pro. But if we can, if Nick, if you cannot get on board with a MacBook, what are you excited for from Apple coming out in the next, I'll be gracious, let's say a year. If I feel like I've lost you with the MacBook. I don't even know you anymore because, you know, iPhone, this. Yeah, Nick was the guy who's always buying 3 Apple Watches, right? And 7.
I told him, I said, Nick, somebody popped your reality distortion field, and it's so sad. Like, someone needs to go, like,
I don't like this woke Nick.
Someone needs to go rebuild it around him. I was expecting him to buy an 8 terabyte, so nice to have 64 it gigabytes of RAM, you know, and like buy like 8
when
of them.
When you come to Starbase, you realize that there are things to this world that are perhaps more important than the latest iPhone or the latest MacBook.
Blasphemy.
You realize that getting humanity off this rock is the most important thing that anyone can do.
We'll get you off of this rock because your opinion on the looked up and I saw a death.
Hey, I will take it because I won't be on the same rock as you. My
gosh.
We'll
get you out of here.
I'll go to Mars where there's a 40-minute time delay, so I can't talk to you in lifetime anymore, Scott.
40 minutes.
How will you Randy do the with podcast with a 40-minute time delay?
We'll just have to script the whole thing. It'll just all
be
scripted.
Nick makes one comment. 40 minutes later, Drew and Randy respond.
That's going to be hard to edit in post. Oh, my God.
That would be a little challenging.
I feel I'd be better off sending a carrier pigeon with something strapped to its foot. My dearest,
I don't know.
It's gonna go. My dearest Nicholas, I hope this letter finds you well. It's been 3 moons since our last transverse, and I worry that you fall victim to no more reality distortion field. Remember when we had FaceTime and iMessage? I hope Mars is treating you okay. And that was the last letter I ever sent.
You've thought way too much about this.
No, I did it right on the spot.
Oh, okay, good. That makes me feel a little bit better, I guess.
Oh, I think about my
He's
friend's
planned
demise.
Out his eulogy.
Yeah, I know.
What's my eulogy going to be, Randy?
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen.
Nick. That's just the eulogy.
You
just
died, Nick.
Nick. Ladies and gentlemen, we canceled him.
Please make that version. Please make that version, Randy. Oh my gosh. Have that one ready to go. It'll play at my funeral.
You're wrong,
Nick. Lowering me into the ground.
I'm gonna do that one first.
Yes.
You're wrong, Nick.
Please. I'm gonna make that his ringtone every time he calls.
I called Nick earlier today and you have reached the voicemail.
No,
someone who's probably winning. I was like, that's my voicemail. He took my voicemail.
I know. I called him. He texted me. He was like, call me. And so I'm like, oh, what's going on? Did something happen? I call him. It goes straight to voicemail. And it's your voice. You have reached the voicemail. I'm like, Nick, really? Like, why did you waste like 30 seconds of my life?
You have reached the voicemail of someone who's probably winning. Okay, folks, believe me. Winning a lot. Okay. And I'm now thinking about, like, I want to get an Obama one. The person you reached. Can't come to the phone. Because he's too busy getting a MacBook Pro. Nick.
Ooh. The perfect 2021 MacBook Pro.
No, actually. I already have the perfect 2020 MacBook
Nick,
Pro.
But Nick, what's your answer to Randy's question? Do you want that ugly white MacBook Air with the white notch and the white keyboard?
I'll rephrase the question because I know it's been about like 2 minutes. If you're not excited for the MacBook Pro and your reality distortion has been popped and I don't know this woke Nick anymore, what are you excited for from Tim Apple within the next, and I said I'll be gracious and give you 12 months. What are you excited for?
Within the next 12 months, I'd imagine that the polishing cloth might finally ship. So
hey, mine comes
something
on my
to be
birthday
about.
In January.
Oh my gosh, Scott, no way.
It's the only reason I ordered it, because the ship date was my birthday.
You mean one of these?
Ooh.
Ooh.
No, just a second. I can't. You guys are my friends. I can't lie to you.
You're faking it. I don't know. To answer your question, though, Randy.
Go ahead.
I don't really know what I'm excited about at this point. Like, I have a laundry list of other things that I want to buy, and Apple products are not on that at the moment.
I know, but not even Tesla's. He's not even on the market for an EV anymore. Ooh. I don't know you anymore.
I don't know you. Where's my friend? Who kidnapped you? You're like Nick's evil twin, and somewhere in the basement.
You voted for Gary Johnson, didn't you?
Somewhere in the basement, there's like another Nick, and he's like actually loves the new MacBook Pro, but he's like tied up, and like you go downstairs and beat him.
Ready, homie!
Only in my mind. Like, he is tied up very deep down in my subconscious.
You go downstairs and like beat him every once in a while.
Are you Nick, vegan too? Is like what else am I gonna find?
Yes, actually I forgot to mention that. I'm now a full freaking vegan.
Oh what?
Painful that you listen to.
Alright. Well, I think here's my prediction. I'm pretty good with these predictions. I've been pretty spot on with predictions on Nick in the past. Even though he's...
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
What am I going to have to change about myself to make Randy's prediction not come true? Here we go.
No. Right now, you just have to stay the course, and my prediction will be wrong. But I am adamant. I trust that I know you so well that no time at Starbase is changing who the Nicholas Ant Sweeney that I... That I've shared a roof with. Oh, you thought I was gonna say something else. I saw your face go.
Okay, Randy, we said we weren't gonna talk about that time. There was only one mattress. Okay.
Everybody's a musician, Nick. So, my prediction is when you get the new MacBook Pro, because you will get it out of necessity for work. You're gonna get it for work. You'll kick and you'll scream out loud. You'll be like, "This thing sucks. I'm not even happy." But I mean, let's be real. How often are you using your 12-inch MacBook? Yeah, you're not using it, but that's fine.
I look at it every day.
And
that's fine.
I told him to never do that again.
This is true.
Oh,
Scott immediately hung up the call and said, "Do not call me from this device again."
It was blocks of Nick.
480p is fine. What do you mean you have to go around measuring stuff? 1080p is not average, okay? 480p is actually average.
Somebody who has to say 480p is good enough knows it's not good enough. Okay, believe me, people, it's very small.
No, I don't use the 12-inch MacBook, but I do look at it every day. It sits on my desk and it looks beautiful, and I wish that I could use it every day.
And functional?
It's the perfect design.
It's beautiful for...
Shut up, Scott. It's
for
beautiful.
For aesthetics, it's great. Now, because you don't use it, you're going to kick and you're going to scream when you get your MacBook Pro. This thing sucks. I don't even want it. But work is work, and I got to be able to... You're going to say something out loud, but quietly...
I'm going to say something out loud. All right, Randy, that prediction will come through.
Quietly, when the camera's off and no one's watching anymore, this is you behind the scenes is going to be like...
He's going to be like the SpongeBob.
I don't know how to keep up this lie, and he's going to snap. He's going to break.
I can confirm. It'll happen just like this. It'll be like 10, 11 p.m., late one night, a couple weeks from now. I'm going to get a FaceTime call from him, and he's going to be like, "Scott, my MacBook Pro, you know, fell down a well or whatever. I'm going to get a new one."
Oh, darn.
Yeah. He's going to be like, I hate it. It's terrible. And then he's going to get it. And then 2 days later, I'm going to get a text, and he's going to be like, "I love this new MacBook Pro."
Yep. Yep, that's what's gonna. He's gonna be like, "This is great."
I will not ever poop on the performance of the processors inside of those computers. They are extremely impressive.
The processors is all that you need to get you back into this reality.
And the SD card slot. He texted me the other day. He was like, "My SD card is busted," and I was like, "Or it could be your dongle, but you'll never know because you don't have a slot in your computer."
I did not text you, Scott. I have multiple dongles.
Oh, I'd get
and
that
by
looked
the way,
at by a doctor.
It is the SD card that I. Scott, stop. I write in real read over 500 gigabytes of footage every single day on my SD card. And it is just time. It happens to every SD card. It happens to all physical storage. You write and read to it enough.
Does it change the fact you have a problem. To use,
it lost one folder.
You have to use a dongle.
I love my two dongles. They're beautiful. They're symmetrical. They're the same size.
Somebody please cut
exactly
that
the same.
And send Nick saying, I love my two dongles.
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. I don't know what you guys are thinking. I'd rather have two dongles than one half in and then one dongle.
Somebody
it's like, that doesn't match.
No, I'm not talking about the dongle. I'm just convinced that when you do actually start using your MacBook Pro, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, this is the way better.
He's gonna,
so, Randy,
he's gonna
here's
look
the difference.
The display, and then he's never going to want to go to anything else.
Bigger's always better. That's what that's a Nick and Sweeney quote from 2018. Bigger's always better. And it rolled over. He updated it for 2019. Bigger is always better. And then 2020, last year, he goes, the biggest is the bestest. The bestest, biggest.
Wow.
And then this year, he just...
These quotes are just
and then
getting exponentially
this year,
less.
Nick gets a man bun and goes down to Boca Chica.
He's going to walk around in Birkenstocks.
And he just... And he,
the Sweeney shirt's already gone, so, like...
Yeah,
this is true.
He found peace within himself. He's been enlightened. He found Nirvana. He's Buddhist now, and all of a sudden
he's
he loves
up
it.
All his
yeah, he's got all his earthly possessions. No. These are not Martians. I don't want these earthly possessions. I'm ready, Elon.
Next podcast, he's not even gonna have a shirt. He's just gonna be like, I gave it up. It was too much.
Hey guys, so I'm on the first flight to Mars with Elon. I just want you guys to know I'm out.
So you see this brick wall behind me, guys, though, right?
Okay.
This is actually jail.
That's where we send you for being a bad apple sheet.
You were gonna tell me something, Nick.
Tim Cook's timeout corner is.
You
what
said
this
you were
is.
Gonna tell me the difference this time. What's the difference this time, Nick?
The difference.
You
with
said,
what?
See, the difference this time, Randy, and then I kept roasting
you.
Oh,
the difference this time, Randy, is that I don't remember what I was going to say, but I will say the fact that I will end up getting an M1 Max chip. I hate that name. Dumb name.
Stupid chip.
So, oh yeah, that's what I was going to say. The difference is my workflow has definitely changed a lot. I'm no longer really editing anything. All I'm doing is moving files around and, like, compressing things. And, yeah, granted, the compression times will be increased on the M1 Max chip, probably by about 2x on the M1 Pro chip, or M1 chip that I currently have. So, granted, that's a great, great reason to get it. Is it a great reason to spend $3,000? No. Sorry. So, because of that, I'm currently not in the market now. If I upgrade cameras and I'm shooting in higher quality, higher bit depth, maybe I need that chip. But I guarantee you I'm not buying this computer.
Who even are you? What happened to my friend who would call me and be like, Scott, you need the 1 terabyte iPhone, whatever, Pro Max, XDR, and you need 3 of them because, you know, that's how...
It's okay, Scott. What I heard, reading between the lines, we are making progress.
Yeah, he's...
Because... Just 2 weeks ago, I will never buy the MacBook.
He's gonna end up with one before.
And I will
before
never buy the MacBook
end,
Pro.
No,
before,
you're.
I'll make a prediction, Nick. Before the end of 2022, you will end up with one of these MacBook Pros.
Ooh.
No.
Yes.
No. No. The harder you try, the harder I will say no.
I am convinced, though, that the harder it gets pushed doesn't really matter anymore. Because when we're left alone to think about it, something about those websites on that white background on apple.com/MacBook, you're like, you know, maybe I do need the newest iPhone. I've given in. After I couldn't be swayed to stay on the 12 mini, I've given in to the fact that I realized that I... have a problem, and instead of me trying to get clean, let's go. We're doing
They've gotten me a couple of times with the phone this year. I've been over the buy now button many, many times.
If they had them in stock right now, and that's why I was at Apple yesterday, I was like just passing by. I was like, question: do you have a 13 Pro Max in stock, any configuration, any color. And they're like, let me take a look. Nothing. Sorry, we got nothing. I'm like, ah. It's probably for the better because I would give you cash right now for it. Just so I can get my fix.
Randy walking up with his duffel bags of cash.
Right. Yeah, my wife was like, what are you doing? He's like, no, it's okay. I got this. I can stop whenever I want.
You're like grabbing the MagSafe fast charger, 140 watt, and like plugging it in.
140 Randy makes
the little like doom, like charging noise.
Maybe I'm gonna switch to Android this year.
Now bye, that I know is a lie.
Bye.
That I know is can't be. It can't be.
If Nick switches to Android, I will eat a sock.
Ooh, woo. Okay.
Well, and you have to stay on it for a year.
Okay. No, I'm not doing that. Sorry. But you already said you'd eat a sock, so.
Do you guys feel?
Yes, I do. This morning I woke up and I felt my fingers and my toes.
Can we please just cancel
my hair follicles?
Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last time we see Nick on a Talos of Tech.
I'll take his place. It'll just be me, Drew, and Randy.
Yeah.
Y'all will agree.
It'll be the most.
Hey, what's up with that guy? What do you think he's doing? I don't know. I think he's like eating a fruit from the tree or something. I don't know. Eating the apple. See, there's a symbolic. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. I had one more before we come to the end of the show. I had one more legitimate question I wanted to pick your guys' brains about. Apple, kinda, sorta. This whole right to repair thing.
No.
Ooh, we love those.
Ooh.
Replacing the screen. On these new screens, evidently kills Face ID if it's gone through a third party.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, Apple said, no, never mind, that's not going to happen. We're going to fix that in a future update, a future software update, whenever that may be. That's not going to be the case. I have a philosophical question about these third-party repairs and Apple being protective of their stuff. Putting the obvious to the side, Apple just wants to make more money. It's a monopoly. I want to kind of we know what both sides are with right to repair versus Apple wanting to be protective of their stuff, their IP and their schematics and all that. We know the basis of that. My question is, if Apple lets anybody for this case, if we have an iFixit kit and we can open our own screens and start fixing them. If Apple was to kill Face ID because of a security breach, do you believe hardware functionality with these displays can become compromised with biometrics as a whole? That if Apple can't 100% say this is one of our displays and it's good, do you think there's a security breach looming with biometrics because anybody can now replace these screens and not have it killed?
Okay, so first you got to ask yourself this very fundamental question. Who owns the iPhone?
You do.
Okay, if you do, then it should be on your skin to make sure you set a good password and don't allow your phone to be repaired by people you don't trust. If it's owned by Apple, then you're just renting it. And at that point, then of course they have the right to say you can't actually own this and repair it in a way that you find satisfactory. The really funny thing is that I find, though, with this decision by Apple to not allow you to fix a phone screen. It's so dumb. I fixed plenty of stuff in my day. Like, I'm techie. I know how to solder. Like, you just do it and then it works.
You just do it
okay,
and
fine.
Then it works. And
yes, that's it. Good political bumper sticker right there.
I'm for good things and I'm against bad things. And I've, Nick and Sweeney.
And I've... I win every election.
Nick 2022. Wow, I'm for good things. I'm against bad things.
please, I mean, that's kind please of run for office, Nick. Then anyway, I can get a giant cancel Nick bumper sticker.
And you can sell them and we'll split the profit.
I ain't splitting that with you. I'll split it with Randy.
Yeah. Sorry, wow, Nick. Only people who have MacBook Pros can revel in the profits.
Okay, fine then. I will just make the uncancel cancel Nick bumper sticker.
Or
the
bunker sticker.
Cancel Nick.
That's what we'll have to live after bunker we sticker. Cancel.
Bunker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, being able to repair your own device is, I think, pretty fundamental, right? Like, you should be able to fix your own car. You should be able to fix your own house. Like, you shouldn't have to call the builder of your house to fix the faucet. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Scott. We disagree on this. I am much more right to prepare than you are.
That wasn't always the case, was it?
Yes, I am. It wasn't. And no, and I'm not discounting the place for Apple authorized repair. Totally understand that. I use that all the time. I use Apple Care. I have Apple
Care. That's where I took these AirPods. Was AirPods, certified Apple Care.
I love Apple Care. Yeah, it's great. I don't have any problems with that. But I'm just saying, in addition to Apple Care, everyone should have the option to do it themselves if they want to. Now, I realize not many people want to. I realize that people are like, oh, it degrades the used market or whatever. But, like, I'm sorry, you're buying a used phone. You take that risk. if you buy a used phone on Swappa, there's no guarantee it's going to work. Might not be as described. Might not be exactly OEM parts. But at the end of the day, really the problem is Apple doesn't sell, doesn't allow third-party repair shops or resellers to access the same parts that they have. That's really at the heart of the issue, to me at least.
So you don't subscribe to the fact that it's a security it's a compromised security thing?
Heck no. No. It was fine for the past since iPhone 10.
So the premise
now, because really what they're doing here is they're shutting down the ability for the lowest level entry level repairs that repair people get started with. If you can't fix your own phone screen, how are you ever going to learn to, you know, do more complex repairs like a battery swap or a logic board swap or repairing the camera? Now, I'm granted, I don't do this, not many other people do this, but I'm saying it should be an option for people to do this. So
Nick,
Scott,
Nick,
lied into me again. Cancel Nick's sign out.
You could, Nick could not possibly be any more wrong, especially because I know what he used to believe on this subject.
I thought this was the MacBook Pro.
But I'll split your question into two parts, Randy. And we'll start with just my inherent bias against third-party repair shops because they're terrible, they're scummy, they're slimy. They broke my original iPad Mini.
Some of them
most
are.
Of them,
some
most
of them.
Of them.
Are.
They broke. I had.
And that's
on
you to find one that's not scummy.
Like
otherwise, take it to Apple.
Mm. So you've had a bad experience with third
party. I've had a
repairs.
Bad experience. I had an original iPad Mini. I tripped down the stairs, fell face first. The screen shattered. Took it to Apple. They wanted like $100-something to replace the screen. Took it to a third party repair shop. They wanted like $50-60, like whatever. It was like half of Apple's. So they replaced it. And it worked fine for a month, and then the digitizer was all screwed up, and you know I couldn't.
Because Apple does not give third-party repair shops access to OEM parts.
And it was a bad, crappy, terrible experience. And here's the thing: Apple, they make the phone, they control the hardware. They should be allowed to control how to repair the hardware, and it's kind of like sideloading, like. If Nick can make the argument, I should be allowed to plug my phone in and put any app from anywhere onto it, and, you know, no matter the risks. It's kind of like that. I should be allowed to have anybody's put whatever screen on my phone, even if it compromises my biometric or my security or my whatever, or if the display is worse quality, or if the digitizer is all screwy. And I should be allowed to have anyone do that. And I fundamentally disagree. I believe that since Apple makes the phone, they can control how it gets repaired. And obviously, other companies like Samsung or whoever can take a different approach and be like, yeah, anyone can mess with their phones and whatever. But I buy Apple, and I buy Apple Care because I know when I have an issue with my product, I can take it to them, and they're going to fix it, and they're going to fix it properly. And if they can't fix it, they're going to give me a new one. That's why I stick with Apple. That's why I buy Apple. And if they have to suddenly start giving third-party repair shops OEM parts, they're going to have to ramp up massive, massive supply lines to make more parts just for third-party repair shops. and the price of our devices is going to go up because they're going to have to be spending more to make more parts. Yes.
No.
Yes. Nope. It's nope. supply nope. and demand, nope. Nick.
Those who would give up a little liberty for a little bit of security deserve neither and will receive neither. Deserve. Oh, crap. I butchered that. It's okay. Look up Benjamin Franklin's most butchered quote on planet Earth. No, I'm not disagreeing with you, Scott, that you can't go to the Apple store and fix it. You should just also be able to go fix your own phone.
No.
Like.
No. First of all, like, you don't even want to mess with my own phone because you touch one wrong thing and you've burned your
because you're lazy.
House down. I'm not lazy. Oh, yeah. I just have more important things
That's
to do with
works.
My time than sit there messing around with teeny little screws
like
in my...
Like sit there and watch the Talos of Tech podcast?
You.
Ooh, I know
my second part of the question, though, was in lines of security because Apple had the stance of that it would be a compromised security.
Yes, I agree. I think it's just like why they're against sideloading. If anyone... can put any screen onto a phone, they can add on whatever chips or anything to that screen, and you don't know, you know, what's on that phone.
And you feel that's why they would kill Face ID if it was replaced, mm-hmm. because it's too compromised.
It's
the same
reason they want to go portless, because people can make lightning cables that can do malicious things. It's no different with replacing the screen. I'm sure it's easy enough to come up with a screen that can do something malicious.
Nope. What do you think, Randy?
Man. This is... I err on the side of caution when it comes to security just based off of what I've experienced and what I know is possible. It's a cat and mouse game, this when we're talking about security. There's always something... There's always a bigger fish. And you have... Mm.
My favorite Obi-Wan quote right there.
I thought it was Qui-Gon, wasn't it? Qui-Gon said that.
There's always
a bigger fish. Anyway, maybe. But there really is. There's always a bigger fish. And when it comes to security, it's a moving target. Cyber terrorism or malicious malware, anything. It's a moving post. So for Apple to say they want to lock it down as much as possible to prevent any security breaches on their end,
then why don't they sell the machine to recode the
because someone chip. Can reverse engineer the software on that machine and then sell it to anyone.
Wow, guys, I really don't agree with you on anything on this show, Scott.
I haven't even told you my stance yet. I'm talking out loud. No.
Oh, you haven't?
I haven't even told you yet. I actually probably err more on the side of I think I lean more. I'm not one complete one way or the other. But if I was to lean in, I think I lean into right to repair with a caveat. So you have authorized Apple store repair shops that are trained, but the case that's made against them is that they're still very expensive in comparison to going to a true third party, and. Most of the time, from what I'm being told, I haven't experienced this, so I don't know. When you send something to an authorized Apple repair center, that they're just going to send it back to Apple, and then they're most likely going to give you something new. And if you can get a license to work on Apple hardware the same way that you know that you have the training for it, those guys, those Apple certified repair shops, they don't have the schematics either. They send them back to Apple. I don't necessarily agree that should be the case. If it's a true certified Apple repair shop, they should have the schematics and be able to work it on shop, and I would assume that would be cheaper than them having to do the shipping and stuff like that. I would like to see a hybrid of actual third-party repair shops that do work in collaboration with Apple, and I want a better Apple certified repair shop. That's what I want. Because the ones that we have right now, it's just a UPS. It's a glorified UPS store that's just going to send my thing right back to Apple. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I could have done that.
Yeah.
I could just go to Apple right now then. I want these guys to have better training with it. Because the guy who's out here in my neighborhood, he told me, like, I don't have schematics for this stuff when I asked him about my AirPods Pro. And so the only experience I've ever had with using these guys is with the AirPods Pro. And I didn't like what I heard. I didn't like what I heard because it made me feel like they're not properly prepared to take in Apple. But to their credit, though, they don't just work on Apple stuff either. I see Dells and HPs and all these other things, and they're working on all these other devices. But they say that they're pretty tight knit with Apple about their do's and don'ts, and if they do anything wrong, they're gonna lose their relationship with them, their business relationship with them. So I lean in more on having more training with these repair shops, and I would like them to have the schematics to anything, to include Face ID or how to replace a screen, and nothing gets really janky. And if the risk is it's just going to leak and get out there, then you have to better your security that sense. Where I side with Apple is it's like, okay, but things already leak anyway. Stuff is already out there. Not all the stuff, mm-hmm. but people still find a way. People are leaking, you know, new products before they leave the assembly line out in China when they're being assembled and stuff like that. You have to find a way to better that stuff. That should not be on the third-party repair shops to find an alternative to make that work, because Apple has worse security for it. So when it comes to the side of security, better your security, Apple. You have the blueprint on the screen that's being, it's a company computer, so it's like maybe being monitored or something, so you know who's logged in last and something. Like, figure it out. It's not my job to figure it out. I just want these guys to have proper training with it, because when they don't have proper training and they have to fix it, I hear horror stories about people getting their stuff screwed up all the time. And Scott is another example of having something that was a bad experience. And I'm not quickly to blame that technician because he doesn't have proper training, because he doesn't have proper schematics, and he doesn't have that relationship. But the ones that do have a certified repair sticker on their window don't even have that training. So I disagree with how Apple implements that part. I just want better training, and then they have to figure out how to better security if they don't want that stuff to get out. Honestly, that's the least of my worries if I was Apple, is my information getting out there, because if you're going to replace it and I'm losing business because of AppleCare Plus, I don't know many people besides enthusiasts that actually have AppleCare Plus, if I'm being honest. Like us, I see us mm-hmm. always going to Apple stores to get an Apple. I don't really go to Best Buy to get my next iPhone. I just don't do that. That's not what we do, but a lot of people do that. My issue isn't on losing money on repairs, because I don't think that's where the money is to be made anyway to begin with. So... yeah, I don't fully disagree with either of you. I just it's tricky. I just want better training to come across, so that way these people who do have that business relationship can have a proper partnership with them, and then third party markets can thrive. And the people who don't have it, then it's clear indication like, okay, these might be a little bit scummier because they don't want to work with Apple. And when Apple's reaching across the aisle, I'd be like, all right, then let's do this. If they don't want to work with it, then I don't want to do business with them. But I'm paranoid to take my stuff to something that's a repair shop that doesn't have any relationship with Apple, because that's just like, oh, that's going to break. I just have that feeling. So, but I don't blame the repair technicians on that. I blame the communication of how this business is set up to begin with. And I just would like better training. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that. I mean, who doesn't want more training? More schematics? Far center. I cannot believe you're so extreme center, Andy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I canceled you. We have closing thoughts? Closing thoughts, gentlemen?
Nick's terrible. Scott sucks. I'm pretty sure Randy's in work on a song. I'm going to replace Nick on the podcast now because he's terrible. All right,
Scott. Tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Scott_S3 S3. YouTube coming very soon, hopefully.
Is it because that was his first product? Was a Samsung S3, ladies and gentlemen. Product.
That was the username available to me on Twitter.
Okay. What about you, Nick? Tell them where they can find you. I don't think they know where to find you.
You guys can find me on Twitter. What was it? Nick Answeeney, Nick.Answeeney.
You tell me. It's your
Nick
handle.
Answeeney. Nick Answeeney. And on Instagram, it's Nick.Answeeney.
Okay. And
Randy, where can they find you?
Probably in hell at this point, but I say...
Hopefully right next to the touch bar.
Right next to the touch bar. Randy Vasquez, all things. Yeah, it's pretty simple. Stuff's in the description. But all right, this has been a fun, unorthodox episode, but I think we've made progress on moving Nick's mind, and I call this a win. I think this is a win. I'll come back to this episode.
Wow, if you call this a win, I really would like to see what a loss looks like.
Nick has one of these new MacBook Pros by the end of 2022.
We're coming back to this episode. All right, well, take care, everybody. Have a great week, and we will see you all next time. Bye. This is your Apple Sheep here. See you in the next one.